This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
If you're familiar with the musician Amy Mann, it may be because of this 1980s earworm. Or you may remember her soundtrack for the film Magnolia back in 1999. Amy Mann has been celebrated for her mastery of the craft of songwriting for a long time. In a review in The New Yorker years ago, Nick Hornby said that Mann writes, quote, proper lyrics instead of 10th-rate poetry. Her most recent album is called Queens of the Summer Hotel, which was inspired by the memoir Girl Interrupted. Last fall, Amy Mann appeared at the New Yorker Festival and will start with her singing.
There's a girl up in her bed, laid against her skin. I see you, hoping the pain covers the dread, keeps the secret sin. I see you. You think there's no one there to hear. There's a girl over a cliff trying to break her fall. I see you, hoping she'll find one to live, clinging to the wall. I see you. Whether it's black despair or just as the sky. I see you, dead to the world, frozen inside, drier than an eye. I see you. You want to disappear, just not be. People get crushed and broken. People lose. see, and I thank you so much.
That was Amy Mann performing I See You with Jonathan Colton and Jason Hart. That's from her most recent album, Queens of the Summer Hotel, which was inspired in part by Girl Interrupted, the best-selling memoir by Susanna Kaysen. The title, The Summer Hotel, actually refers to the psychiatric hospital in Kaysen's book. At the New Yorker Festival last fall, Mann spoke with staff writer Atul Gawande, whom you might know better as an expert on public health, on COVID, and much more. But Atul is also a passionate music fan.
You know, you sent me the album, and I really appreciate that. And I saw it, I got to listen to it on a day I'd come out of my surgery clinic. For those who don't know, I'm up in Boston, and I work as a surgeon and in public health. And one song that called 15 Minutes got to me.
Oh, God.
And Susanna Kaysen, who wrote the memoir Girl Interrupted, it opens with her going in to see a psychiatrist she's never seen before, and 15 minutes later she is involuntarily admitted to...
Kind of coerced, yeah, to...
To be admitted to McLean Psychiatric Hospital, where she'd spend almost the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And
which is a long time.
It's a long time. And 15 minutes was about the 15-minute appointment, which my day is made up of 15-minute appointments. It is gruesome to think about, like, how we move people in and out, right?
Yeah. I mean, I made it a funny song, but it isn't, it's...
He's an over-the-top psychiatrist by the time you're done. He's you might say a couple of the lyrics about electroshock, for example.
Yeah. Let me see if I can... Let me see if I can remember it. Hold on a second.
Let's see it. Let's do it.
Give me 15, give me 15, give me 15 minutes. That is all I need to make the call. With only 15, only 15, only 15. Women are so simple after all. Something like that. In the time it takes to walk around the block, I can have you scheduled for electroshock. Something like that. Anyway, so I didn't really take it that seriously.
It is. It's surprisingly. I mean, the memoir is actually hysterical, and you're. You managed to bring out, I understand your attraction to it, right? It's dark and it's funny at the same time.
I mean, I think that that's sort of how you have to be if you are, you know, you find yourself in a mental institution and you're surrounded by other mental patients. You know, you have to have some humor about it, right?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I reread the memoir for this show, and the thing that struck me was it is funny, and at the same time, this dark sense that here are these people who've lost the thread of... I mean, almost all of them have attempted to commit suicide at one point or another in the book, and they've lost the thread of what makes life worth living. And in my own work, whether it's cancer patients or others, the question that I often like to ask people are questions about what they find makes life worth living so that we make sure we preserve that along the way. And it's one of my favorite questions to ask, as it's turned out. Like, one person I got to write about had said that, look, if I can eat chocolate ice cream and watch football on television, that will be good enough for me.
Wow.
Like, if you, as
low
long
bar.
As you say that. So, low bar, what would it be for you? What's the minimum quality of life you'd find acceptable?
Being around my friends. You know, yeah, I think that's the most important thing, and making music.
I was going to say, you didn't immediately say music. If you couldn't make music, that would really...
Dude, I think if the pandemic has taught me anything, it's that people need to be around other human beings in some, you know, more than one. Sorry, my spouse, but more than just one. It's, yeah, I need you know, a little group of friends, and that's, you know, which is what a band is, and that's why, you know, I like to play live, and I love playing with other musicians. It's like a shared thing. It's like three brains forming to make this other thing.
The next song that you're going to do is Goose Snow Cone.
Yeah.
And this one struck me, but maybe I'm misunderstanding it, as being out of keeping with your dark tendencies. It's based on a cute Instagram photo that friends posted of a snowy white cat.
Well, it was inspired by the cat.
Yes.
And then immediately took a left turn into being very depressing. So.
Oh, good.
So, yes. So, don't worry. Yeah. So, my friends had this cat named Goose, and I was on tour in Dublin. It was very cold and snowy, and I saw this picture of the cat with, like, in her little cone, you know, the cone of shame. And, you know, and she looked like a little snow cone because her face was like a round, white, fluffy ball. And so I started writing this song, you know, thinking that I would change the phrase Goose Snow Cone to something else later. And then just you know, and it's called Goose Snow Cone. So it just didn't happen.
Goose Snow Cone and Amy Mann.
Looking into the face of the goose snow cone, you should be shaking it loose, but you do it alone. Every look is a truce, and it's written in stone. Keep it together when your friends come by. Always checking the weather, but they wanna know why. Even birds of a feather find it hard to fly. Thought I saw in my feet an origami. It was only the street hidden under the snow. Always snatching defeat, it's the devil I know. Gotta keep it together when your friends come by. Always checking the weather, but they wanna know why. In the midst of a fair, I find it hard to fly. Looking into the face of the snow cone. I could pick up the pace, but I couldn't go on. I just wanted a place, but I ended up gone. Of a feather, find it hard to fly. Thank you so much.
There are very few New Wavers who have an ongoing musical career. You know, Duran Duran, no. Spandau Ballet, no.
I bet Duran Duran could fill some theaters.
You can fill, yeah. But not creating new music that people still are drawn, not just still are drawn to, you building new audiences and reaching people in new ways the way you have been.
Well,
and I'm
lucky.
But I would love to ask you about, you got there and it was a dark journey through record travails, record company travails. Can you tell us a little bit about what you went through before you came out the other side?
Well, being on a major label at the point where I was in the 80s and early 90s, I think, you know, the music industry is one of those industries where people feel like there's easy money, and if they can just figure out what the formula for having a hit song is, then they will make that easy money. And then they go to the artist and they say, we need you to sound exactly like this thing that is already on the radio, and here are our dumb ideas for how to do that. And this was, I mean, that really is about the size of it. That was a situation I really chafed at, because I felt like, if you don't like the music I'm doing, then just release me from my contract. So it was just a lot of waiting that out.
You recorded Bachelor Number 2 and the album that would be a breakout for you.
Yeah, Bachelor Number 2, I had recorded and it was finished. That was a complicated situation. I was on Geffen, and Geffen and a bunch of other labels merged into Interscope. So Interscope was getting a huge influx of other artists, and they actually told me I could leave if I wanted to, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. Finally, I can get out of this. And at that point, the internet wasn't really a thing, but enough of a thing so you could have a kind of a mail order situation. And, I was like, I don't care if I have to sell this out of the back of a van. I just have to get out of this situation.
So now, who do you write for? I remember seeing a talk from several writers and where they'd answer the question, you know, why do you write? And one did say, I write to illuminate relationships because it's the relationships between people I don't want to understand. The other person said, I write because I want to stick it to the man.
Well,
why do you write?
For different reasons. I really do. You know, relationships between people is very interesting. Finding or going through or observing a complicated situation and boiling it down to its essence in 3.5 minutes is very interesting. It's like a little magic trick or a puzzle. I like getting inside other people's heads and writing from their perspective to see what it's like, see what it's like, and then see where I intersect with that person. So there's different reasons, but there's something that's sort of magical that happens when you have a complicated problem or feeling, when you put that into words, and that's really interesting. You know, it's like a, you know, it's like an ink plot. It's a Rorschach test. It's you see things in it, and then the things suggest a story, and so you start writing a story, and it's just very interesting to me.
Amy, this has been just fantastic, and
thank you. Thank you so much.
One last time, please give it up for Amy Mann.
That's staff writer Atul Gawande speaking with Amy Mann. We'll close with the song Save Me, which appeared on the soundtrack for the movie Magnolia. This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. See you next time.
Save me. What don't you save me? If you could save me from the ranks of the freaks who suspect they could never love anyone.
Thank you.